that through it all, my eyes are on you. Yes, through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well with me.
Praise the Lord, church. It is well. It is well. It's a beautiful evening out, just sitting here in the sanctuary and being able to look outside and seeing the sun set in the west and the beautiful. You know, sometimes we don't like cloudy days, but boy, clouds sure make for beautiful sunsets. And it is just such a blessing to be here tonight. I trust and pray that all of you have had a blessed week so far, that your week is going well. And just have a few announcements here as we get into our evening. We have our Good Friday prayer, which is going to be an online prayer meeting here on Friday evening at 7 p.m. It's going to be a little bit different, but we're encouraging all of you at home to your families to gather and join us here at 7 o'clock. From 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock, it will just be 1 hour. And we'll be having our prayer. And then also we have on Sunday a.m. at 10, we have our Easter service. We'll be having an Easter service that will be online this year, as all of our services are going through this stretch of time. But we're going to be taking communion, so I'm encouraging all of the fathers to take and get the various provisions that you're going to need, the elements required, and I'm just suggesting to get some sort of a grape juice. That would be a 100% grape juice, and then you could get oyster crackers or saltine crackers, or I know we've heard some folks are going to make unleavened bread. Or just get a big loaf of French bread if you want to break it up, however you want to do it. as a family unit, we're giving you that opportunity as families to be a little bit creative. And we will have our pastoral staff. Some of our pastors will be here on Sunday, and we will take and have a online communion service. So if you do not have provisions or unable to get provisions, if you'd like to call the church, we might be able to help you out on that. So if you could call tomorrow afternoon or Friday, we will be able to take and help you with some of that. Also, we have our 1 p.m. Voces Unidas service, and Pastor Fabian will be conducting that. And then we have our 5 p.m. AIM service with Brother Claude Abga. And also coming up, or actually here, we have ways to give here with offering. Typically, we would have our ushers come at this time. But we have online giving at Calvary Gospel Church or cgcmadison.org. You can do that. You can mail it in. We have quite a few people mailing it in here at 5301 Commercial Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53704. You can do the text to give, which we have more and more people are doing the text to give. And the number there is 608-719-3883. And you can text in the keyword tithe, offering, or missions. So with that, I want to thank all of our, all of you for just working with us through this unprecedented time. It's funny how things change, how perspective changes. Yesterday we went to vote, and you would feel that we were walking into our town hall, and I felt like I needed to yell out unclean, unclean. Kind of knew how the lepers in the Bible felt like everywhere they had to go. They had to wear a special leper's clothing to identify them as a leper, and they had to yell out unclean. And I kind of felt that yesterday because I didn't have a mask on as I went to vote. And even though you're not required as of yet, I sure felt like a little social pressure there. But nevertheless, I trust and pray that you and your family are doing well through this and adjusting, because I don't believe that things are going to return as normal after this. So, but we're going to get into the Word of the Lord tonight, and I want to thank our sound folks, our overhead, and our tech people, and Sister Jennifer for coming in and working with our deaf ministry, and then Sister Abby on the keyboard tonight. And I just want to thank all of the folks. You know, you're able to stay home in your living room, in your work clothes or your pajamas or whatever you choose to get comfortable. But we're all here, and I want to thank all of these folks for making this happen. Everything has been going very well. We're continuing. You can see the wall behind me is pretty well completed. A little trim work going to be going in, but I want to thank all of those that are continuing to come in periodically throughout the week, assisting on some of our maintenance projects. I also want to just continue to ask the church to pray. Continue to pray for our leaders. Continue to pray for the church. Excuse me, the churches around us, who some are struggling with the illness and lots of people sick. So just continue to pray for those churches. I want to start off finishing. I didn't quite get finished on Sunday morning, and I didn't get finished on last Wednesday. And because my wife and I are taking a vacation, we're actually really not going anywhere. We can't really go anywhere, but we have a lot of projects at home we're trying to get finished. So we're going to take a little bit of time off and kind of have a stay-at-home vacation. I wanted to wrap these up before Easter Sunday. So what I'm really doing tonight is I'm combining two messages, and I've kind of put the tail end of both of these together to form one message. And I've chosen, even though we started one series and rolled into another series or another message on Sunday, I'm going to go ahead and continue with the He Has, He Will Continue. And we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, He has delivered us from this deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. On Him we have set our hope and He will continue to deliver us. He has, He will continue. Reading in the book of James, we went into this on Sunday morning, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Sometimes I wonder why Scripture tells us to count it all joy when we face many times in our life various trials and tribulations in our life. But the book of James, the writer James is saying, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Whatever you face, or whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. I think that when you look at this, when he says, count it, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So he's actually kind of asking a question or making a statement and then gives us the answer to that. And he goes on to say, let perseverance finish its work. We live in a world that is very impatient. We don't have the patience. We sit at the microwave and wonder why it takes 2 minutes to cook our egg when before, when I grew up, we didn't even have a microwave. We don't have the patience today. I think if anything, we're learning through this time period and time that we are going through is we have to let perseverance finish its work so that we may mature. But Pastor, I've been a Christian for 40 years. I've been a Christian for 20 years or for 5 years or for 2 years but what James is saying here is let perseverance finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. It's kind of odd to me to find that joy is to be a response to hardship and suffering, when the last thing that we typically want to do is count it all as joy when the transmission goes out in our minivan. Yet, what James is telling us is we can should consider it pure joy when our transmission goes out of our minivan, so we can let perseverance finish its work so that through this process we can mature and complete and not lack anything. And yet, through our faith, God promises He's committed to doing that which is good when the enemy tries his best to destroy us. When we read in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, referencing as Joseph stood before his brothers, understand something here. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was lied upon, spending years in an Egyptian prison. And he says, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. This tells me that God specializes in bringing life out of death, bringing good out of not so good, and God is committed to taking every bad thing that could ever happen to us and use it not to destroy us or to tear us down, but use it to bless us, teach us, and mature us. That's called tough love. But that is how God loves His church. God is in a constant state of changing. God is in a constant state of growing and maturing His church. So right now, when we look at what's going on around us, in all of this pandemic, in all of this mess, in all of this chaos, God is in a state of changing. He's in a state of growing, and He's in a state of maturing His saints. Listen, we will change, we will grow, and we will mature in God until He calls us home. There's never going to be a time where God says, well, you've gotten as far as I can take you, so I'm going to have to let you go on your own from here. We have to understand fear looms large. In the day that we live in, gloom and doom, its coverage, it permeates the airwaves. This virus has forced us to face uncertainty at every turn. But today, we can experience as well as enjoy our life. And we can count it all as joy. Reviewing from Sunday, we can discover that we can enjoy the blessing of faith over fear. We live in a world of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 reads, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." If you have fear in your heart, if you have fear in your mind, if it's all you think about is fearful things, it's not coming from God. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I hear a lot nowadays of people that are just absolutely losing their minds. We have made a choice. We have a choice to make in every crisis that we go through. We can either choose fear or we can choose faith. We've also learned about releasing control. A lot of times we as Christians, the reason we continue to struggle with the things that we struggle with is because we refuse to release control, because we've allowed those things to become what identifies us. We've learned about the blessing of God's power and peace. If you'd like to go back on our website or Facebook, you can take and listen to us, the first half of this message. We all love the story of Jesus speaking peace to the stormy waters in Matthew chapter 8. And we've been covering this for the past few services. We love it because we know how the story ends. And it's easy for us to forget that the disciples didn't know what was about to happen. They were terrified, and rightfully so. They were at the verge of drowning and losing everything they had, losing their most prized possession, perhaps in their boat. It's what made them, gave them a livelihood. It's what they used for transportation. And they were sitting there, and they were about to lose their business. They were about to lose their most prized possession. They were about to lose their life. And here Jesus, in the middle of all of this mess, all of this chaos, he's sleeping. We all want to experience God's peace, but you see, we can't experience the peace of God until we first comprehend the power that God has. That's why he could stand up in the middle of this storm and say, "Peace." There was power in his peace. We cannot comprehend the power of God unless we experience the storm. So we're never going to understand just how powerful God is until we need something that God has to bail us out or help us through. These two attributes or these two qualities of God go hand in hand. And we have to understand when we read the story of the disciples in the storm, as with us today, this chaos is never evidence of God's absence. People always say, "Where's God in all of this?" Let me tell you where God is. God is in the very middle of all of this. However, the chaos or the storm, this is the arena in which God moves. This is the arena in which God dwells, and God's power dwells in chaos. That is where we are able to see him most clearly. But so many times in trying to see him, we get caught up in the storm around us, and we miss God because we're looking at the waves. We miss God because we're listening and rattled by the thunder and the lightning. We miss God because we're too busy bailing out our own boat. But you see, his power is most evident when we recognize how powerless we really are. When we realize that without him, without God, our boat, our nation, our world will sink into chaos. You see, this global pandemic that has brought civilization to a standstill. We've always thought that in all of this, that in the last days, yes, there's supposed to be all kinds of horrible things happening, but we never envisioned this. A global pandemic has brought civilization to a total standstill. Thus, it's the perfect place for God to display His power, His authority, His might, His peace, His love, His grace, and His mercy. I've asked you as fathers to read to your families and claim this promise every day, and I've asked you to do so for the purpose of opening yourselves up for a blessing from God. And that blessing is the blessing of a solid foundation, the blessing of God's Word. I've asked you to read Psalms 91, and surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. And on Sunday we ended, I'm reviewing here, on Sunday we ended with the blessing of simplicity, about using this time to simplify life. I love it how dads are reconnecting with family. I watch on videos on Marco Polo of some of you fathers playing with your children in sandboxes and little trucks and bulldozers, and teaching your children, having your children work with you on projects, and taking your kids with you. And you see, most of the time, dad's not at home all day. Dad's usually at work somewhere. But I just want to encourage you during this time, take this opportunity to just be the dad. Use this time wisely, fathers. Use it wisely. Moving on into uncharted territory here for us tonight, moving on into this lesson. You see, in the day that we live in, we all wish to be self-sufficient. It's amazing to me how many people say, well, I want to live off the grid. I want to be self-sufficient. Yet they order everything they need through Amazon. They order all kinds of stuff. They go on Google. They can't live without Google. They can't live without Facebook. So much for being off the grid. Somebody's making your stuff. Somebody's sending it to you. You see, we all want to be self-sufficient because we don't want to lean on other people. We don't want to be a burden. We don't want to be that guy that has to always ask for favors. You see, we don't want to lean on others, but in a crisis, we need to understand something. We need to learn to lean on those around us. And for that, there is a blessing. We're talking about the blessings of God. He has, He will, and He will continue to bless us. The blessing of dependence. While some of our industries, some of the folks that attend Calvary Gospel Church, their employers are furloughing workers, and other people are working 24/7. But there are those in the high-risk categories who have become complete shut-ins during this crisis. And in all of this, we all need to learn that we're a church body. We need to depend on each other. And dependence isn't always such a bad thing. Scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes, I think we can get a very good example out of this, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 through 12, referencing that a cord, a three-stranded cord, is not easily broken. The New Testament church, if we're going to use the New Testament church as a model of churches, the New Testament church was in a constant crisis. Leaning on each other was a necessity. It was part of how church was done. Not only did that benefit the body of Christ in its entirety, but it also benefited the individuals within the body. You see, God designed this body. God designed my body to where that we need, or it needs, each other. I would have no
no need, if you look at our body, I need a spinal cord to connect my head to the rest of the body. And we need bone structure, and we need tendons, and we need muscles, and we need all of these different components that make our body function. Our body needs one another. It needs each other. I need my hands. I need my feet. I need my eyes. I need my ears, I need my nose, I need my mouth. We need each other. And being dependent on others doesn't make you a weak person. Being dependent on others, it makes you a human person. And remember, Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So you will be blessed if you let them, or if you let others minister to you, and if you minister to others. This is all part of spiritual maturity. You see, when you can allow, listen to me here, when you can allow other people to help you, it's not a character weakness. It's a maturing process. You see, it's a sign of releasing one's pride. I know of people that desperately need help but will never ask for it. What does that tell me? It tells me that they're not as spiritually mature as they think they are, and they have a problem with pride. So if you have a problem with pride, you might want to get your feet up right now and not put them on the floor, because the vacuum cleaner is coming through. You see, for those who find that they've got extra time, if you've got extra time on your hands as we go through this crisis, look for ways to meet the needs of others. Don't sit there and say, well, I wonder if Pastor's going to call so-and-so today. How about getting on the phone and you calling so-and-so today? They're part of the body. We're part of this. We're all in this together. Somebody needs help with their kids, give them a call. Say, hey, listen, can I help you out here? You need to go to the grocery store. You can drop your kids by. Somebody needs a meal, or somebody needs groceries, or if you find somebody is in need of those. If you don't feel comfortable going into their house, you know what? Drop it off at their front porch. If somebody needs, just check in. Just check in and see if someone is okay, or making sure that they're okay. And also, did you know that there's a blessing in being a blessing? Being proactive, asking God to help your needs, and we need to be in this time. We need to be God's hand, and we need to be God's feet. Nothing feels better at the end of a day than making a difference in a life of someone that needs help. Philippians 2:3-4 basically is telling us, bless someone else will always turn around. Blessing someone else is going to turn around and bless you. So understand, it's no secret right now that our country is sharply divided. You don't have to take and look very far to find division. We have flaring tempers, and they're all the political parties and political positions are raging, and they force or try to force churches and church members to take sides. And it can be very disheartening as a pastor sometimes, but in a crisis, none of this should matter. If the boat's going down, it's all hands on deck. Let's get this thing fixed. Let's get it upright. But you see, there are those who try to score political victories off of a crisis like this. But most people, you know, you can fall off the log. You can be so far left, you fall off the log. You can be so far right, you fall off the log. But you know, there's those people that learn how to function, whether your religion D or religion R or whatever it maybe you're an independent or a green party, I don't care. But there's this group of us that are in the middle of this log, most of us, and we don't really care what the far left thinks or does or the far right thinks or does, because we're willing to put our differences aside to help the neighbor because his house is on fire. What does Psalms 133:1 tell us? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Did you know that there's a blessing in unity? Now this is going to just be, I'm just throwing this out there, food for thought. Could it be the reason that God is pulling his blessing off of the United States of America is because we've lost our sense of unity as a nation? We no longer care about what the other person thinks or does. It's all about me. There's a blessing. Listen, there's a blessing in unity. You can be someone who chooses to love your neighbor, not just in a crisis, but always. As this coronavirus threatens to destroy life and livelihood, it should bring out the best in us. Let it bring out the best in you. Let it unify us. Don't miss these opportunities that are given to us by God to mature and to grow and to allow God's blessings to flow. Because if we ever needed the blessings of God on us as a nation, we need it now. If we ever needed the blessings of God on the church, we need it now. During this season of time, this season of extreme duress, this is a season, I brought this up a few weeks ago, of divine acceleration. It's a season in which God is working in so many ways. His work is being done in such a visible way, and we need to be assured that God is at work right now. Doesn't mean he hasn't been working beforehand. God has always been at work. Remember, he has, he is, and he will continue. And you will discover, I will discover, that he has been operating behind the scenes. He's been putting pieces together. He's been positioning people. And God's plans can be seen in the very hidden threads that are being woven through your life. Long before the finished garment for you, long before God is finished with what he desires to do with you in your life, you can see woven throughout your life, you can see where God has been in and out and around your life. I believe that this prophetic word that God has for many of us today that are waiting is going to be rewarded. We need to understand that it's time for the church. It's time for us, church, that we must sharpen our gifts. Before God promotes you, he will prepare you. And sometimes without us even knowing, God is preparing and God has prepared. Remember that he has, he is, and he will continue. We're all in the same boat here, church. When you look at David, David had been anointed as a future king by the prophet Samuel. Yet after he was anointed by the king, did he go into the palace? Did he take his position in the palace because he had been anointed? No. What did he do? He went back to tending sheep. He was serving with his father and his family. He stayed in the fields. Yet while David was herding the sheep, he was also using his time to worship God with his harp. He was using that time to play anointed music and writing prophetic songs. He was being developed in a physical strength with the skill of warfare by protecting the flock from the lion and from the bear. And while David was working in the pasture, God was preparing him for the palace. We read in 1 Samuel 16:18 that one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him." That's not how you would probably describe a young sheep herder, but that is exactly what David was. And when the opportunity arose, when David was ready, you have to understand, like David was, we can also be active dreamers. And you may not be aware of it, but the skills that you are preparing and sharpening right now are being used by God to prepare you and to prepare us into a season of blessing and into a season of divine acceleration. And you will never know, we will never know who God will use on our behalf. So we must be aware of everyone that he places around us. You can trust God to position the right people around you at the right time. You look into your life, and I look into my life, and I look at the things that God has blessed me with, and I'm so thankful for the blessings of God, but I am beginning to understand more and more and more that God has placed people strategically in my life for such a time as this. We read in Genesis chapter 40, God brought the butler into Joseph's prison cell so that he could tell Pharaoh about Joseph's dream of interpretation, or the gift of interpretation. It was a person. God took someone out of their ordinary setting and placed him in Joseph's prison so that they could share and have a conversation. And perhaps here tonight, God is placing people in your lives so you can have a divine conversation that will change the rest of your life and the rest of their life. You see, Joseph ministered to that palace servant during his time of crisis. It's in his time of crisis that the gift was opened up. It was in that time of crisis that the gift came to its flourishment. And the butler later remembered and spoke to Pharaoh. And he said, "Remember, with God, there are no little people. And with God, there are no little places. Because everything with God, there is a reason and there is a purpose." We have to also understand that in this whole process, it can be a blessing, and it is a blessing to serve with excellence, to serve with excellence. That time that Joseph was in prison, in Genesis chapter 39, he served as a prison warden with grace and excellence. He could have had the attitude, "I don't deserve to be here. I don't want to be here. I had a dream, and someday I'm going to rule over you. I'm more gifted and I'm more called to you. What am I doing in a pit hole like this?" But instead, he took his gifts and he took his talents, and he served that jailer with all of his heart. You may be in a mess right now. Life may be a pit hole right now, but you have no idea what God is doing and using through all of that. God will give you the grace to honor your leaders. I'm going to step into a little bit of an area here some of you aren't going to like. But God will give you grace to honor your leaders. Understand something. If you can't honor the president, God's never going to elevate you to any position of leadership, because you have a problem with leadership. A lot of times we want to be able to take and step up, and we want to be called far beyond where we are or what we should be and all of this and that. But listen, I want to challenge you tonight that God desires to grow you at a rate that will surpass many of us here at Calvary Gospel Church, and it could be that what's holding you back is simply a problem of attitude. So God will give you the grace to honor your leaders even when you're called beyond them. I believe that there are young men and young women in this congregation right here tonight listening to this message that are going to far surpass the expectations that I have for even my own ministry. But God is growing and God is accelerating. I'm 57 years old. I might have another 5, 7, 10 years of ministry. Some of you are in their 20s and your early 30s and you are already surpassing, or you're already gaining if you are given up until the time that I have right now to continue in your ministry. You will far surpass, you will accelerate, and you will outgrow all of us. It's because we are living in a season, we are living in a time, and as you serve right now, you are serving and growing and sowing seeds into future seasons of divine acceleration in your life. Understand this season of troubles, a season that we have, it's a season that God has chosen. It's not a season that we have selected. It's a season that God has selected. And I'm speaking prophetically here. It's a season that God has selected. And this season as trouble of troubles is a season that God has chosen to propel you as an individual, to propel you in ministry, to propel you as a pastor, propel you as a teacher, as a leader. God is propelling this church. We have to remember that sometimes we think God isn't working. He's always working. I love that song. He's working. He's always working. Divine acceleration works through failure. Divine acceleration works through brokenness. Divine acceleration, it works through perseverance and staying with the call of God during the long haul. So many times people don't get to where God desires them to go because they bail out and quit before they get there. This is not a time, church, to sit back and say, well, so much for revival, we can't even have church. So much for all of these people coming in, you can't even have more than 10 people in a business. You just wait. I'm challenging you tonight. You'll go back months from now and listen to this. You just wait and see what God has in store. You see, never, 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 ever give up on the dreams that God has given you. We have to keep going when the journey seems long, when the journey seems hard, when the journey doesn't seem like it's worth it anymore. I look at the prophet Deborah. We don't hear much about her in the Old Testament, but she spent years faithfully serving God as a judge over Israel. Day after day, she listened in her position to pathetic problems by people that didn't have a vision and people didn't have a dream, and she dispensed wisdom and gave out leadership. And then one day, in a moment's time, she was plucked out of where she was and she was inserted into an equation, and God began to divinely accelerate her life. God swept Deborah into the events that would eventually release Israel from years of tyranny from their enemies. And today, church, God is in the middle of this. Today, church, receive the anointing of the Holy Ghost for endurance and perseverance. God's power is going to move swiftly on our behalf, and he will honor our faithfulness with his favor. And remember, the enemy never gives up and never gives in without a fight. So we can expect spiritual warfare is an expected key when God begins to bless his church and begins to divinely accelerate his kingdom. So if it seems as though the battle has been fierce lately, it's because, understand, we, in order to face spiritual warfare, we need to receive faith from God. When God is getting ready to do something quickly, hear me now. When God is getting ready to do something quickly, he almost every time you read in the scripture, he will allow the enemy to attack or be exposed. So if the enemy is exposing itself or has exposed itself, get ready, because God's not close behind. God always allows the enemy, he always allows Satan to stick his big old neck out there so it can get chopped off. If you look at the book of Esther, the whole entire book of Esther is nothing more than the enemy getting set up. The Jews living in Persia came to a point of critical crisis when Haman set a date for their destruction. You read in the book of Esther, the Lord came in, stepped in through Esther's courage and Mordecai's wisdom. Their enemies suffered the very same fate that they had planned for God's people. And don't tell me God's going to treat us any different. Godly leadership was raised up in Persia, and the king promoted Mordecai the Jew, and Haman hung on his own gallows. It's time for you and I, as individuals, as a church, to overcome the enemy that has stood against us. Understand something. If we are under a threat, Brother John, it's because we are a threat. The enemy's not going to mess with us if we don't matter. The enemy's not going to come against us if we're not a threat to him. You see, spiritual warfare is a sign. Spiritual warfare is a sign that divine acceleration is about to break loose. If I can put it this way, all hell is going to break loose. Our enemy stands opposed to God's purpose for our lives, but the plans of our God are unstoppable. I'm getting ready to close, so Sister Abby can come. Our enemy stands. We often have our own ideas and desires of how and when that we believe all this revival, divine acceleration, is going to take place. We have to understand that Heaven has a much different point of view, and God has a much different timetable than what you and I have. You see, in closing tonight, there may be times when we look back and see that those dreams and desires that we had didn't come to pass in the way that we thought they would. Perhaps as they were being helped by God and His mercy, maybe we weren't quite ready yet. Maybe we still had some maturing to do. Or just maybe it's that God had just a much greater plan ahead for us. You see, God loves you. God stands taller than you. It all boils down to one word: trust. Can you trust God in His higher viewpoint? Ultimately, listen to me, church. Listen to this. This is very critical here. It's not walking perfectly that counts. God, in our humanity, we try so hard. Some days I try so hard. I said, God, I try so hard, and yet sometimes I feel like I fall so short. But you see, ultimately in God, it's not walking perfectly that counts, but it's trusting that our God is holding our hands and responding accordingly. I love what Psalms 37, 23 and 24 says. What a great promise. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall. For the Lord upholds him with His hand. So if you're struggling tonight and you're not walking perfectly, understand something. Keep trusting in God. Keep trusting in God, because the Lord makes firm the steps of one who delights in Him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. You see, divine acceleration, church, can be seen in a recovery. It can be seen in a quickly and in a suddenly. And be assured that when your time, when it's your time, when it's my time, when it's our time for divine acceleration, there is no one who will stand in God's way. God was. God is. And God will continue. Would you lead us in song, Sister Abby?
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness, I'm still in your hands, and this is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness, I'm still in your hands, this is my confidence. You never fail me yet. I know the night won't last, your word will come to pass, my heart will see your praise again. 'Cause Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness, I'm still in your hands, and this is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, Lord, great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness, I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me yet.
Praise the Lord, church. Just as we close here tonight, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work
so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for this conclusion of this message. It's kind of two messages rolled into one. Thank you for understanding. We're looking forward to Easter. Love you all. Miss you all. So great to see some new faces. Brother James and Sister Rachel, our youth pastors, have joined us tonight helping out. It's just good to see them. And just remember, be smart, be safe. Stay saved, sanctified, and sanitized. God bless you. Love you all. We'll see you Sunday.